It is so good to see all of you back again this evening. Years ago when I was living in Lindell, Texas, I was working with the elders in the congregation there. And as is the case, whenever you work very close with elders, you get very close to them. And one such elder that was there was named G.L. Carter. We always asked him what did G.L. stand for. He would never tell us. He always told us it stood for good looking. Well, Brother Carter was passing away. And so I visited him often in the last few months of his life. And one day when I was visiting him, he said, Wayne, I got a favor I want to ask of you. There's a story I want to tell you, and I want you to work up a sermon around this story. And he said, when I was a little boy, I went hunting with my father in Texas. And we were walking through the woods of Texas, and we came upon an old log cabin. Log cabin from back in the 1800s. And there was only one door and one window. And his father said, let's go inside and see what's inside there. Because it was in the middle of the woods, and it was obviously nobody had been there for a long, long time. And so they opened up the door and they went in, and he told me what they found in this old log cabin was the skeleton of a cat. And the skeleton of the cat was sitting in the middle of the floor staring out the window. And he said, now, Wayne, I want you to work a sermon up on that. And this is the sermon I worked up on that particular story. Because what I can deduce from this situation is the cat died looking at the window. Because his skeleton is here in the middle of the room, and the head is staring at where the window is. And so what this tells me is the cat knew the way out of the house. But for some reason, and we don't know what it was, he didn't take the way out. And he died inside the house. And so the lesson I worked up from this particular story is the sermon, Jesus Christ, the Way Out. I hope you enjoy it. In the New Testament book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So here we're talking about temptations that are going to be hitting you in life. And God is not going to allow you to be tempted beyond which you are able to resist. But notice the text here. Along with the temptation, God is going to make a way of escape. What I want you to learn from the lesson this evening is the way of escape and the way out is through Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, again, it will also make the way of escape, but as we've learned here, if I can get this thing working here. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I understand the text here is primarily talking about the way to God and the way to heaven. But what I want you to realize here this evening is I don't really care what your problem is unless it's something to do with mechanics and technology. But if you're having problems in life, problems emotionally, problems spiritually, struggles and battles that you're fighting, I want you to realize the answer to your problems is all the same answer. And that is Jesus Christ. That he actually is the way out. Now, it is good for you to know the way out, but it is imperative and extremely important that you take the way out. It is not enough just to recognize where you need to go and how you need to go in order to deal with problems and situations. You have to take it. You've got to take the way out. If you're having problems with your marriage, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 16, for how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? And how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? In my life as a gospel preacher, I learned that if you're going to be a gospel preacher, what comes along with it is a whole lot of marriage counseling. Because in every congregation we've been a part of, there have been members in that congregation that were struggling with problems in their marriage. And so if you happen to be one of those who are having problems in your marriage, I'm going to tell you the solution and the way out to deal with your problems. The solution is Jesus Christ. It was years ago when I was dealing with a member down in Louisiana. And she came to me and she said, "Wayne, my husband is lazy. Don't you think I should divorce him?" And so I read the text over in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 19. And I said, you know, the text here says, except for fornication, it doesn't say if he's lazy. She waited for a while. She said, Wayne, my husband uses drugs. Don't you think I should divorce him? So I went right back to the same verses and read those to her again. I said, you know, the verse doesn't say except if he uses drugs. And she waited around for about 30 seconds. And then she said, Wayne, my mother said I should divorce him. And my mother is the wife of a preacher. So don't you think I should divorce him? So I went back, you guessed it, and read the exact same verses to her the third time. And I said, you know, it doesn't say, except mom says I should divorce him. And then after I got through with that, I said, I'm going to tell you something. The solution to your problem is you need to get busy trying to convert your husband. You need to be trying to get your husband to come to the Lord to where he will change his life, transform his life, and conform himself now to Christianity. And you need to be working diligently because the answer to your problems is getting God in your husband's life. This particular text here is talking to those that are married to unbelievers. If you are married to an unbeliever, I want to encourage you to actually live the Christian life at home. Be for real in your conduct, observing this reality. Your husband and your wife are watching you. And if you really want to draw them to the Lord and help them find their way out of the quagmire of the world in sin or whatever problem that be that they're stuck in, you live Christianity in front of them, and that's their best hope. Look at this text over in 1 Peter chapter 3. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. So here you have a wife who is married to an unbeliever, and he finds himself being drawn to God through her example. She is consistently living the Christian life in front of him and over a period of time draws him to the Lord. I could go through the congregation here tonight and tell you right up front, that story has been lived numerous times in this congregation. There are people that are here tonight because they were drawn to the Lord by the influence of their husband. They were drawn to the Lord by the influence of their wife. And they're here tonight because of that influence. So again, the way out, first of all, for your marital problems is this. If your spouse is not in the Lord, do the diligent work you can to encourage them to find their way to God through Christ. And then the next thing I always try to encourage people to do, and that is follow God's instructions. Ephesians 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. You notice I've only got one verse in this whole part of the sermon on the husband-wife relationship. There's a reason for that because in a few weeks I'm going to do an entire sermon on this. But right now, this one verse is enough to suffice. You know the three most dreaded words in the English language? Some assembly required. You get a box, and when it's on the side, that means I got to put this together. It requires effort. It requires work. And in the box, there's always instructions. I know I've told you all this story before, but I'll tell you again. A lot of you are smiling because you know it's coming. When I was living here the first time, we got a big box for a basketball goal from Walmart. And on the side were the three dreaded words, some assembly required. So I got the instructions out, and I read the first instruction. It says, put A with B, and I put A with B, and then I looked in the box and I said, oh, this is easy. These all pieces go together, and I picked it up, and I slid two pieces together. And after I slid the two pieces together, this is the honest truth now, I looked down at the instructions, and it said, whatever you do, don't put these two pieces together. And I had just done that. And I pulled, and I pulled, and they would not come apart, and they did not go together. I bought it at Walmart, so they took it back. And I got another one. And you know what I did when I got the second box? I did something that's very, very important. I read the instructions first and followed them by the letter. And at the end, we had a basketball goal. Now, then, I'm going to give you a very simple lesson about life. Life, some assembly required. That means you need to look into the book of the Creator and follow the instructions of God about how to have your marriage and your family. And you will find that if you will do it the way the Creator says do it, you will avoid a whole lot of unnecessary problems. And you will get the maximum joy and peace and fulfillment out of the marital relationship the way God wants you to have it. I'm going to tell you a very simple reality. When there are marital problems in a marriage, invariably either one of them or both of them are not doing what God said do. And if you don't do it the way the Lord says do it, don't be surprised when it doesn't work and it's falling apart. And so that's why I've only got to have one verse here, because this one verse talks about loving your wife as Christ loved the church. Now, what degree did he love the church? Jesus loved the church so much that he died for it because he understood what our needs were. Come to understand what your spouse's needs are and give according to their needs, even if you don't understand why they need this. Find out what your spouse's needs are and give to them. Do not be selfish. Do not be self-centered. Be giving and concerned. What are your needs? How may I serve you? How may I help you? Go and read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the text that describes love, how love is long-suffering, love is kind, and then do all of that. Love in that text is a choice of actions. It is not an emotional feeling. And so go to that text and just practice it. And guess what? When you give and show love to your wife and give and show love to your husband and show honor to your wife and show honor to your husband and are faithful to your wife and faithful to your husband and you have God at the center, guess what? It works. Marriage. Some assembly required. And I know a lot of you are waiting for something from the Princess Bride, but I didn't do it. You couldn't help think that, could you? All right, well, let's get back to the sermon. Psalm 69, 2 through 3. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary from my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. This is David here, King David. In the future, he's going to be king at this time. He's running for his life, running from King Saul. He has lost his position in the government. He has lost his marriage to his wife. He has lost his relationship with his best friend, Jonathan. And he's running for his life, hiding in caves. And in this condition, David, who was a man after God's own heart, sank into a deep depression. The point I'm trying to make from this scripture is this. Depression is not sin. If you struggle with depression at different times in your life, or you know someone in your family that struggles with depression, I'm here to tell you from the scriptures that is not sinful. You're going to find sometimes people that go through great loss in life. When you go through great loss in life, what sometimes comes with that is discouragement and depression, grief, sorrow. So now that you recognize that this is a reality of the human existence, and sometimes we just struggle with our emotions of discouragement, of sorrow, of grief, and even depression itself, I got some good news for you. I know the way out. And the way out is through Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Short verse, but to the point. The joy of the Christian life is directly connected to our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Notice, it doesn't say rejoice, and again I say rejoice. The text says rejoice in the Lord. It's in that relationship with God that we are in Christ and we're in the Lord, and from that relationship reconciled to our God and have a mediator between ourselves and God, an intercessor, an advocate between us and our God. In that relationship is where you're going to find joy. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace. That joy and peace is attained through your relationship with God through Jesus. Look at some other verses with this. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay, let's stop right there. Let your requests be made known unto God. Notice how the verse begins. Be anxious for nothing. Anxious is fear. We've talked already about grief and how to find the way to joy when you're dealing with discouragement and even depression is through Jesus. What about fear? Fear is pretty tough stuff, folks. Fear can chain you down to where you cannot function normally. The text here talks about being anxious for nothing. That's the idea of not worrying and being afraid about anything. But notice the solution here in everything. And I want to point out one thing here. Everything means everything. It doesn't matter how small it is. If it's causing you to be worried, afraid, a problem, take it to God. It doesn't matter how big it is. Take it to God. You don't see any way out? I know someone that can help. God. With God, all things are possible. He cares about you. He wants you to cast all of your care on Him. And it is through this prayer relationship with God to where you're taking your problems to God, everything. This is the way that you're able to overcome fear, is from having a close relationship with God to where you're taking your problems to God and realizing through faith that God really is with you. He is not going to leave you nor forsake you. He will strengthen you. He will help you. He will uphold you with His righteous right hand. The way to overcome fear is through faith and prayer in your relationship with God. Look at the next verse. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the first verse we looked at in Philippians 4 and 4, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. That's the way to the joy. Here's the way to the peace. Remember the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace? Here's the peace. And the peace comes from your relationship with God. The point I'm trying to make, if you're struggling with fear, the way out is through Jesus, by going to God in prayer through the Christ. And then there's sometimes when you're just beat down and you're weary and you got nothing left to give. Everybody knows Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when you got nothing left to give, when you just wore out, and you feel like you can't go any further, I got some good news for you. I know the way out. And the way out is, again, learning to go to God through Jesus Christ. And through Christ, you can do all things. Through Christ who strengthens you. And again, the way you're getting the strengthening is you're going to the Word of God, finding the Scriptures that fit where you are, And then you going to God in prayer, casting all of your cares upon the Lord. And in that relationship with God, you learn to draw strength from God to the point to where, as again, Isaiah 41:10 says, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And that is the idea. When you can't go any further, he'll hold you up. And so you see here in Philippians, if you're seeking for joy, the way is through Jesus. If you're seeking for peace, the way is through Jesus. If you need strength, the way is through Jesus. He's the way out. Now, I'm going to tell you something important about this. In my house, on my table, is a bottle of medicine. My cardiologists have given this to me. And they told me, if you take this medicine, it will help you with your heart problems. Now then, is it enough for me to go, yep, that's the medicine. That's it right there. It'll do it exactly what they said to. Yeah, all right. And not take it. Well, duh. That's not going to get it, is it? It's not enough to recognize that what I need is on the table. I got to take the medicine. The same thing is true with emotional struggles. It's not enough to recognize the way out is through my relationship with God through Jesus. I see that. Okay, I understand it. Okay, that's good. All right. As though mental acknowledgement of this reality is enough to help you out of it. It's not going to do you any good if you don't take the way out, is what I'm trying to say. Remember the cat? You can stare at the door all night, and you can stare at the window all day. And knowing the way out is not going to do you any good unless you take the way out. Philippians 4. I want you to notice the pattern here. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I will say rejoice. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, through Christ Jesus, and Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ. Did you see that right there? In the Lord, through Christ Jesus, through Christ. There's the way. In the Lord, through Christ Jesus, through Christ. That's dealing with emotional traps. And then you have the traps of sin. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24 through 26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may come to know the truth. Now notice the rest of this text. So they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. A snare is a trap that you are caught in. The vast majority of the world that is not in Christ, they're caught in the traps of sin. And one of the things I do in working with people is show them the way out of the trap. I have dealt now through the decades with just about every spiritual problem you can imagine. I've dealt with alcoholics. I've dealt with every drug addiction you can imagine. I've dealt with every kind of marital problems you can possibly imagine. I've even dealt with psychological problems. And I've dealt with every kind of sin that you can imagine. Every kind of sexual sin you can imagine a person struggling with. I've worked with these people. And this is something I want you to learn to know. The solution to all their problems is the same. I remember one time I was working with a man who was a meth addict. And he just couldn't kick it. And I talked his wife out of not divorcing him, but giving me a chance. And she said, "What makes you think you know something different than all these other people?" And I told her, "Because I'm going to show him another way. I'm not going to use medical knowledge. I'm going to try to bring him to the Lord. I'm going to try to convert your husband. And I'm going to try to teach him how to repent. How to actually change his life through repentance. Because the problem is, he's trying to kick meth to try to please his wife and son. And it wasn't working. But when it came to kicking meth because he's trying to please his God, and he's driven by his faith, And he's actually having a repentance in his life. Guess what? He's not a meth addict today. Their marriage is awesome. And he's one of the strongest Christians I know. And you would never in your wildest dreams imagine where he came from. I've seen this happen over and over and over. So I know what I'm talking about. The way out of whatever sin it is you're trapped in is Jesus Christ. Actually becoming a real Christian. Not just coming and sitting on a pew, but actually becoming a real Christian driven by your own faith. Let me show you a text. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And the entire list here, I've dealt with people caught up and entrapped in every single one of these sins. From homosexuality, well, not idolatry, with the idea of bowing down to an idol, but covetousness, yes. But all the others here, drunkenness, yes. Sodomites, yes. Fornicators, yes. Adulterers, yes. They were caught in these snares. They were caught in these traps of Satan. But look at the next text. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. These people at one time in their life were completely entrapped in sin. And if you would have known him at that point in time in their life, you may have thought to yourself, there's no way this person can ever be a Christian. I'm going to tell you something, very simple lesson. You cannot read people's hearts. You do not have that ability. You do not know what is in their heart and whether or not they will actually receive the seed of the gospel. Give everybody you come in contact with the opportunity to hear the gospel, to come to know who Jesus really is, that he really is the Christ, the Son of God, who loves them personally, who died for them personally. And there's a way they can have their sins forgiven and be reconciled to God. A lot of times, people get so caught up in these sins, so deep in them, they think, other people can go to heaven, but not me. Other people can come out of their sin, but not me. I am in this, and there's no way out. I'm here to tell you, I don't care how deep you're in the sin, how come it's overcome you, you can get out of it. But the only way to come out of it and get out of it is through Jesus Christ. These individuals were all people here at one time that were caught up in these sins, but now they're washed. That means you've obeyed the gospel. Your sins have been washed away. You're sanctified. You're set apart from the world. You're not in the world anymore. You're justified. These individuals, when they die like this, are going to be with the Lord. But at one time in their life, they're as far away from God as you could possibly imagine. There's a verse that's very dear and near to me, Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Actually, that verse should be very dear and near to all of us. It doesn't matter how terrible your sin may be. It doesn't matter how long you've been in it. The power of the blood of the Christ is able to wash the sin completely away. And yes, God still loves you and he still wants you. And so what I'm trying to tell you is this. The power of actual faith can bring about a conversion and a transformation and a change in the lives of anyone if they will just take the way out. But it's not enough to go, yeah, I see all those verses, and that's nice, and that's fine and good for you and other people, but I can't do that. Let me tell you, you can. Remember earlier, I can do all things. That includes transformation, change, repentance, putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And what is driving this change? And I remember the wife saying, "What makes you think what you're doing is going to be different than what he's done in the past?" And this is what I told her: faith. Because what he was doing in the past was trying to please family. And now I'm going to try to get him to the point to where he's trying to please God. And now I'm arming him with something that he hasn't been armed with before, and that is a shield of faith that he can put out all the fiery darts of the wicked one that are going to continue to come at him. And I'm going to arm him with the sword of the Spirit to where he will be able now to defend himself against the attacks of the enemy. So again, I'm wanting you to realize, I don't care where your loved ones are in sin. I want you to realize this. I do care, but I want you to realize this. They can get out of it. Show them the way out. And the way out is through Jesus. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Isn't that beautiful? The beauty of Christianity. I can start over. And all the old stuff is gone. All the sins washed away. And I start over fresh and new and forgiven in a relationship with God. The last thing I want to show you is the way out of death and hell. Romans 7, 24 to 25, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death?" There's the question. I understand that sin, the end of sin, the wages of sin is death. And when I die in sin, the end of that is going to be hell. Wow. Can somebody show me the way out of death and hell? I got good news for you. I know the way out. I know the way out of death. I know the way out of spiritual death. I know the way out of hell and the way to avoid it. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's the way out. "So that with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Do you see he's asking a question here in verse 24? "A wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death?" The answer is given in verse 25. Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, there's the way out. 1 Corinthians 15 now. "The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory." Notice this phrase. "Through our Lord Jesus Christ." Yeah, you're going to die physically. Yeah, I'm going to die physically. Hopefully it's going to be a long time from now. I like to hang around for a long time. But even though we're going to die, guess what? We're going to rise from the dead. Your loved ones who have already finished the race ahead of you, they're going to rise from the dead. And you're going to rise from the dead. And he tells us here the way we're going to overcome death and the way we're going to have the victory over it. And look at the very last phrase, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you beginning to see the pattern? I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ, through Christ, through Christ. That's the main lesson that I'm trying to show you. The pattern is always through Christ. That's the answer. That's the way out. Romans 8. "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And so you want to overcome sin. You want to overcome death. You want to avoid hell. I know the way out. I know the way that you can be a conqueror over these things. And that is through him who loved you, through Jesus. Go back to it. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing should be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so the way out of physical death eventually is going to be the resurrection. The way to avoid spiritual death is through Jesus. I believe hell is real, and I intend on avoiding it. And I know the way to avoid it, and the way is through Jesus Christ. The only way to overcome physical death is the resurrection. The only way to overcome spiritual death is Christ. The only way to avoid hell is Christ. Now let's go back and show you the pattern. Philippians 4, through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 13, through Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, in Christ. Romans 7, 24, through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you seeing the pattern? All the verses are teaching the same thing, aren't they? Because all the verses are showing this. Whatever spiritual problem you have, whatever struggle it may be that you're going through, the solution and the answer is all the same. Marital problems, the answer is Christ. Emotional problems, the answer is Christ. Spiritual problems, the answer is Christ. Death, the answer is Christ. Hell, the answer is Christ. The way out, obviously, is through Christ. You remember the cat and the window. You can stare at the window till you're dead. It's not going to do you any good unless you go through it. Through the sermon this evening, I've tried to show you the way out. Take it. Take the way out. If there's sin between you and your God, deal with it. Take the sin to God. Confess it to Him and turn from it. The blood of the Christ is there for you. And though your sins be as scarlet, they can be washed away. And you can stand before God pure, holy, and blameless. And though you may have been trapped in the world, you can actually come out of it. You can actually change. You may be thinking, no, I'm stuck in this. That's not true. You may be struggling with it, but you're not stuck in it. You can come out of it, and you can have the victory over it, and you can change, and you can repent, and you can be transformed and converted. But it is all driven by your faith in God through Christ. And that relationship is the solution to your problems. I want to encourage you to take the way out. Take the solution to the problems and find your way to God through Christ. Find your way out of the traps of sin through Christ. Find your way out of the emotional struggles through Christ. Take the way out. I appreciate your kind attention. If there's anybody here tonight who is not in Christ, be willing to come forward and confess your faith if you believe. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If there's sin between you and God, I want you to realize the blood of Christ is there for you. Take the sin to God, confess it to Him, and turn from it. We as your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ will do the best we can to try to get around you, encourage you, and exhort you to help you hopefully in the future stand against the attacks of the enemy. You have fellow soldiers around you who will try to help you as best we can. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.